And now our study today takes us again into Matthew chapter 13, and we shall study the second parable in the series of parables related in this chapter, known as the Parables of the Kingdom. In our previous study, we looked at the first parable, which was the parable of the sower with his seed. Now, we'll adapt the same method today. We'll look at the parable, plus the interpretation that the Lord gives to the parable, and then it's left with us to make an application of it. Reading then at verse 24 of Matthew 13, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, when they got into the house, the disciples wanted to know the meaning of that particular parable. So at verse 36, here is what we read. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. His disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So we have here the second parable dealing with the wheat and the tares. Now, I pointed out in the first parable that there was opposition. There was the conflict of evil by opposition. Here we still have the conflict of evil in the second parable, but this time it is the conflict of evil by imitation. Someone here called the enemy has scattered a counterfeit seed. Now carry with you the picture from the first parable. The sower, of course, is the same, and we're told here in connection with the second parable that the sower is the Son of Man. So we are left in no doubt whatsoever as to who the sower is. The sower is the Son of Man. Now he sowed good seed in his field. Now remember, it's his field, and he sows the good seed. Now here are some lessons that we learn then The place where the seed is sown is the field. Now remember, the field is the world, not the church. Now get this clear in your mind. If you begin to picture here the church, you're going to make some mistakes. First of all, he sowed the seed in the field. But you will remember it was only a small portion of it that brought forth any fruit. There was that which was removed. There was that which was starved because of the other things there. And it was on rocky ground and had no depth. And that was smothered up with the world's cares and riches and pleasures. But we pointed out that some of the good seed fell into good ground, which the devil could not destroy, and it was bringing forth fruit according to its own kind. Now you move on from there, and you concentrate your thinking now in the second parable to that part of the field that was producing fruit according to the seed that had been received. It's obvious then that the enemy, who was the devil, could not destroy that. But there's one thing he aimed at doing, and that was he could imitate this. Now again, I want to emphasize that so far as the field is concerned, the field is not the church. The field represents the world, and in the world the good seed has been planted, and the good seed has produced. And here he tells us that the seed in the second parable, that which was growing, represents the children of the kingdom. You see, the seed has produced now, and there are those people who are looked upon as being the children of the kingdom, produced from the sowing of the seed. But he says the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, isn't it worthy of note that after the good seed was in the field, that the evil one came along? Now, it's also interesting to notice that it says it was while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Now, men should not have been sleeping, but there was a time came on when we had the dark ages and men slept. And the devil was very active. The devil never goes to sleep. And he was ready to plant his evil seed. He plants the counterfeit. And so in the world, you have that which is genuine and that which is a counterfeit. Now, in the first parable, there was only the genuine, so to speak. The rest had either been snatched away, starved, or smothered. But the genuine produced. But now here there's something else being produced, and it's the counterfeit. There's the wheat and the tares growing together in the same field. Now, if the field is the world, which it is, you and I should come to this conclusion today, that in the world we have that which is genuine and that which is counterfeit. You have a great number of religious groups today who are imitating the genuine thing, but they themselves are counterfeit. They have been planted by the enemy. Now remember this, Christianity is not just one of a certain number of religions to be considered alongside them. Christianity stands out unique. Christianity is something on its own. It stands out in contrast to all these other spurious religions. Christianity is the genuine thing. It has been produced by the true seed of the Word. But the devil, of course, was very busy. As the wheat is produced by the seed sown by the owner, the tares are produced by the seed that was sown by the enemy. And when the servants saw them, they said, "Look, if you planted good seed in your field, Now look at them here. We see there's a counterfeit here. There are tares growing amongst the wheat. And they wanted to go in and root them up. Now that was forbidden. Now the fact of the matter is, our attention is drawing here to the fact that when he gives the explanation concerning the wheat and the tares, he tells them they have to leave them. He says, if you go in to gather them up, the trouble is you'll root up also the wheat with them. That is not your responsibility. Now, a lot of people have taken this scripture and they've tried to apply it to the church. I have indicated to you that if you apply this to the church, you're in difficulty. And so people have said that in the church, you must allow the genuine and the counterfeit to grow together, and it's not your place to judge evil. My friend, this has nothing to do with church discipline here. This has got to do with profession in the world. This has got to do with testimony in the world and what people profess to be. Now, what people profess to be in the world is one thing. What they are in church fellowship is another thing. When you come to the epistle to the Corinthians chapter 5, you're told of certain people there who are to be put away from among you. There is such a thing as discipline in the church. And there are different ways in which evil in a church has got to be put under discipline. And the very ultimate thing, of course, is excommunication. That's the ultimate. However, we're not dealing in Matthew 13 with a church. You're dealing with the kingdom. And you're dealing with the kingdom in the time of the king's rejection. That is, at the present time. And so the kingdom is the sphere of profession on this earth. And in that sphere of profession, you have that which is genuine, and you have that which is spurious, or the counterfeit. The genuine is the product of the seed of the word that was sown. The counterfeit is the product of what the devil has sown. He has sown his tares. There's another thing we should keep in mind, and it's this. That this tare, or this counterfeit mongrel wheat, to begin with, would look very like the genuine thing. It would have its green stalk just the same. It would have the green blade. But it's only when it comes to harvest time that it would be obvious that it is the counterfeit. And you see, he says at the time of the harvest, he would send forth his reapers. Now, when he comes to give the meaning of that, he tells us who these will be. And he tells us this, that he would send forth his reapers in the time of harvest. And he tells us that harvest is the end of the age. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. This is the work of angels, to carry out the government of God at the time of the cleansing of the world. And he'll send angels to do the gathering together of the tares, and he'll bind them into bundles ready for destruction. And so we discover this, that in this second parable then, there is the counterfeit, conflict by imitation. Now let me remind you again, the devil never originated anything except sin. That's the only thing he ever originated. Everything else is an imitation. In fact, the matter is, he can produce an imitation Christ, a false Christ. He assumed in the first place to exalt himself above the throne of God. If God has a kingdom, then the devil has his kingdom. And if God arranges his kingdom correctly, then the devil can imitate it. He can also have his leaders and his various men in places of power. And so therefore he imitates whatever God does. And if God produces a Christ, the devil will produce an Antichrist. If God sets forth a way of salvation, the devil will set forth his own way. If God says that men are to worship him, the devil says, fall down and worship me. And whatever emanates from God, the devil has his counterfeit. If the Word of God presents to us the gospel of the grace of God, also running parallel with that in the world today, oh, there is the message from the devil himself, a counterfeit, a strange gospel, which has said, if any other man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. And so the devil counterfeits. And if the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, you can rest assured the devil has produced his counterfeit. Now, in these days in which we live, it is very clear and obvious that the devil has many counterfeits in the world. Sometimes it is very difficult for a person to perceive them. But remember, while it's true in the Bible that the devil is portrayed like a roaring lion, one ready to devour his enemies, he's also portrayed as an angel of light. And so when he enters into the religious sphere, he comes not as a lion to attack and destroy, he comes like an angel of light. And he so comes to deceive people. In the beginning he deceived Mother Eve in the garden, and from then on he has been able to deceive many others. And so therefore, when you come to this particular parable of the kingdom and the sowing of the tares among the wheat, notice where he plants them, in the same place as where the Son of Man planted the good seed that produced the sons of the kingdom. Then he says the tares are there also, and the tares are the children of the wicked one, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil. But remember, there's the end that's coming, and the end of the age, there will be a harvest. Now, it's in the harvest that the separation is made, that the tares are separated from the genuine article called the wheat. And the tares are taken and bundled together. I wonder, is it possible for me to suggest to this audience today that are listening to me, that at the present time the devil is so busy that he also is almost helping this work, and we can see these people being bound together now. They're joining themselves together because of certain things in common. It seems to me the harvest is coming near. The end is drawing near. And so the character of the tares is beginning to show itself. But it is not our business to root them up. Now, men over the ages have made mistakes. There have been different religious groups that have fought with other groups under the name of holy wars. And they thought they had a right to destroy others. Oh, you think of the great days of the martyrs, when people fought and struggled and killed one another. It was wrong. Remember this. It's not our job to go around destroying the counterfeit. You leave that to God when he sends his angels, and they shall bind them together, and then they'll be cast into the place of destruction. And he says they'll be cast into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But over against that, the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who are these to hear? Let him hear. Now, it's possible for a person to have ears and not be able to hear. It's possible for a person to have the ability to hear and not use that ability. It's possible for a person to have the opportunity to hear and to neglect that opportunity. So says the Lord Jesus, whoever is to hear, let him hear. In plain words, we should give our ear to the truth of God. And in giving our ear to the truth of God, then we would be able, no doubt, to understand the truth and not to be deceived. So in this second parable, he's showing us this, that the kingdom is in the world. That is, it's the sphere of profession. But in this sphere of profession, during the time of the king's rejection, there is that which is genuine and that which is counterfeit, that which is only an imitation of the real thing. That being so, it's left with us to make an application of this now to our own hearts. And we begin to ask ourselves this question: if I find myself in the sphere of profession, would I be counted in with that which is genuine, or would I be counted in with that which is counterfeit? In plain words, is my life today the genuine article produced by the seed that was sown by the Son of Man, the seed of the kingdom? Or am I simply a counterfeit? Am I only an imitation of the real thing? Would I be collected into the garner as being wheat that was valuable? Or would I be cast aside and bound up in bundles with the tares? It's time for men and women to test themselves. My friend, do you have the genuine article? And are you considered the genuine article? Or have you laid hold upon that which is counterfeit? And are you considered an imitation of the real thing? The day will come when the proof will be seen. And so when the end comes, he said, he will send forth his angels. They will reap in at the harvest time. And when the harvest time comes, there will be those on the one side and those on the other. Now I know that much that I have said today is not commonly said or accepted in the sphere of profession today, but I'm asking all my listeners to consider this and to consider it intelligently, because this is the meaning that the Lord gave to it, not the meaning that I gave to it. You see, he simply gives us the parable, then he gives us the meaning of the parable, and then we are left to make the application. So therefore I ask you, if the enemy went out while men slept, he went out in the dark and sowed his seed. Have you ever considered the things that happen while men sleep? I tell you this, if Samson hadn't slept, he might never have lost his strength or his sight. But he slept at the wrong time and slept in the wrong place. Men sleep. When you come to Matthew 25, you discover people sleeping there when they should have been wide awake, waiting for the bridegroom. Another thing that gets home to our heart in this parable here is this: the seeming success of the enemy. He simply comes and sows his tares and goes his way, that's all. And he leaves the seed that he sows to do its own work. He doesn't require to come back and water it and care for it. He simply sows the counterfeit seed and leaves it. On he goes, and the seed produces after its kind. And a lot of people today get somewhat annoyed and upset when they think of the success of the enemy. But remember this, it is only a seeming success. And very, very soon you will see the ultimate end of what seems to be his success. Because the day will come when the Lord of the harvest shall take in hand to deal with the enemy and to deal with that which he has produced. And all that the enemy has produced is a counterfeit. It's an imitation of the real thing. So don't think for a moment that the devil has gained a victory. It may appear at the present time that he's been successful, But oh, my friend, success lies with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mighty victor. And the day will come when the genuine thing shall be put on display, and the Lord shall have all his own gathered to himself, while they that are simply imitations, counterfeits, shall be cast out and rejected.